Hello everyone, my name is Anka Roxana Chokan. I am a software engineer at Microsoft and I will be going to present to you automated data upgrade in NAV 2013 R2. What I'm going to talk about today, we are going to take a look into how upgrade is done today. Then we are going to, I'm going to present the automated data upgrade process in NAV 2013 R2. And more specifically, what is the process, why we chose to implement this, these tools, and how. And of course, some hands-on lab. Why upgrade to NAV 2013 R2? This would answer the question to about where do we find this automated process. We have released NAV 2013 R2 early this week, and it is a great release. It contains, in the application area, enhancements in the cache management tools, and it comes with great capabilities in the platform area. We have some web client usability enhancements with alignment to other Microsoft products, look and feel. We have administrative capabilities based in, built in the platform via PowerShell. We have server monitoring and help server. We have multi-tenancy and integration with Office 365 with single sign-on. We have provisioning tools for Windows Azure. And last but not least, we have a smooth upgrade from the previous version of NAV. How upgrade is done today? We look at the upgrade from three approaches. In terms of solution upgrade, in which you migrate your current version of the application to the new version of the application. We regard it as platform hotfix, in which partners go, pick up the binaries, and deploy the binaries to customers' installations. The platform hotfix come with issues, fixed issues in the platform part, and the application issues are fixed by application hotfix or regulatory updates. These hotfix are applied are delivered from the NAV team as KB articles, with descriptions with what is the problem and how to address into the code, how to change your code, and also a set of application objects, which partners need to merge with the customized code of the customers and import the new functionality into the product. The regulatory updates, these are a set of application objects which are meant to fix legal requirements, and they are specific to certain countries. Today we are going to focus on solution upgrade, and we regard the solution upgrade from three perspectives: technical upgrade, application merge, and data migration. What technical upgrade means? It means enabling your current application run from the previous NAV version to the current NAV version. What you're going to do, you are going to install an NAV 2000. What you're going to do, you are going to install an NAV 2013 R2. And then you are going to put the database closer to your installation. You will open CSite and run a technical upgrade, which will prepare your database to for the NAV server 2013 R2 to be able to connect to it. In order to have a functional platform, you will have to compile the objects. Having a technical upgrade, you will benefit from the improvements that we have added into the new version of the build in terms of platform. For the application features, you will need to do an application upgrade. And here, you will need to identify the customizations that you have in your current version of the application and merge it with the baseline of the new application. The result of the merged objects will be imported as new objects in the new database in NAV 2013 R2, and you will have a working system with the new application features and also your customizations. The data upgrade process. means migrating the business data from the current version of your application to the new version. It has some challenges because as developers, you are not allowed to lose data, and the data in the old system must be mapped to the structure of the new system. So as you can see in the picture, I have illustrated the business data as a file, and the business data is mapped on a certain structure in NAV 2013. On the other side, in NAV 2013 R2, there might be a different structure of the database schema. What you need to do is you need to fill in the upgrade toolkit. We call upgrade toolkit a set of data transformation rules implemented in CAL. And what upgrade toolkit does, it will remap the business data that is slightly to have a different structure in order to fit into the new version of the database. The upgrade toolkit runs in two steps. In the first step, it will identify which is the data which needs to be remapped, which is the data which is mapped on a structure in a current version of the application, but that structure becomes obsolete and has changed. When I say structure, I mean there is a table which doesn't contain a column anymore because that column has been moved to another table, or the keys of the table have been changed, stuff like this. So the first step, as I mentioned, will identify which is the business data that needs to be remapped, will move that business data to temporary buffers, and will clean up the tables that are supposed to be obsolete in the new NAV version. In step two, we will move the data from the temporary buffers into the new tables, which are the change tables from the old structure, and we will empty the buffers from the upgrade toolkit itself. So basically, we have two stages for the solution upgrade. We have an application merge, which means merging your customized code with the application baseline. And we have an upgrade on the data level. Upgrade on the data level is performed for each company in parallel, but there are also some operations which are valid for all companies. How we do the upgrade data today? This is an extract from our help system. Upgrading the data to NAV 2013 involves at least 13 steps plus 4 global ones. I counted, I did the math, and there are basically 17. There are 17 manual steps that you need to execute in order to upgrade the data. We believe this is a great pain. So basically, when we started this work, we had some challenges to address. The first challenge was the overhead because of the manual steps. There are a lot of manual steps that you need to do for each company in particular, and some for global some steps global for all the companies. But having a database with two companies doubles the amount of manual steps, and so on. Another challenge is the downtime during upgrade. The customer won't be able to have the business up and running while we are upgrading the database. So it is critical for us to minimize this downtime as most as possible. Of course, we can't have a big downtime if we are doing repeatable manual operations. Another step, another challenge, refers to the post-upgrade manual steps. And here I refer to Rapid Start, which is supposed to import some data in order for your company to be initialized properly. This is again another manual step which would be specific to each company that must be done after upgrade toolkit is finished. Another challenge to address is the fact that when you perform an upgrade, you are forced to live in a complicated setup. You need to have the two versions side by side. The first version of the upgrade toolkit is running in the previous version of NAV, while the second step of the upgrade toolkit is running in the new version. So this brings overhead to your setup. Next is about swapping licenses. Your actions must be very ordered, and you need to have a partner license in place in order to be able to execute upgrade toolkit objects. And later on, you must not forget the partner license into the customer system, and you need to replace the customer's license with an updated one. So how did we respond to these challenges? By using automation. What we have provided in Dynamics NAV 2013 R2 is a set of efficient tools which are supposed to reduce costs and to simplify the upgrade experience. Our ultimate goal is to bring customers up and running and to benefit from the new functionality and the improvements in the newer release. So we need to have customers fast access to the new production environment. How did we do this? Well, we benefited from the large amount of platform improvements we have introduced in this build. And the first of one is multi-tenancy. Question. Has anyone participated into the multi-tenancy session yesterday? Great. So more than half of the room. Well, the multi-tenancy is an architectural concept in which a database has an application. This application can support multiple customer databases on top. So what we do, we take the NAV database, we split it into two. We identify the application part and the customer data part. We put the business data into the tenant database, and the application holds the database, the tenant database schema. By connecting an NAV server to such a setup, we have a multi-tenant environment. What happens when we bring a new tenant in place? Well, this tenant has some vital information. If this information is compliant with the data schema, which resides in the application, we have a happy scenario. And we can easily mount this tenant as a tenant to our multi-tenant setup. But it can happen that the tenant structure, data structure, is not mappable to the application. And here it is, there is some logic that the server needs to handle. What actually happens, the server needs to deal with tenant synchronization in order for the tenant to be mapped to the application which the server holds. So I'm going to do a small demo in which I'm going to show the unhappy path. And as a spoiler, this database synchronization for the tenant with server's help is a key scenario in our upgrade script. For the demo, this is my scenario. I have a multi-tenant NAV server. It has a mounted application. And what I want to do, I want to mount this database as a tenant. Let's take a look at the multi-tenant NAV server. I will open the NAV administration console. This loads the Microsoft Dynamics NAV management module with the PowerShell commandlets. And I'm going to run a get nav server instance. This will return the server instances which are live on my system. I have multi-tenant NAV server here. Let's find some more about this server. So as you saw yesterday, I can run get nav application, and as server instance, I can point to my multi-tenant NAV server. And it will return to me the Campus Days application, which is mounted as an application. Next, I want to open Seaside. I have my system on the demo instance of my SQL server. So as you can see, Seaside only recognizes the application databases. Seaside doesn't see the tenant's database. In my SQL instance, I have campus days application and campus days company data, which will serve me later as a tenant. Back to Seaside, I will open this database. And here I am mostly familiar with table number 3 because it's the first table. What I have done in table number 3, I have removed field with ID 5, which is field description. So currently I only have an NAV server with an application mounted. I want to look into the tenant to see, to have a rough estimate about what is the tenant data, the tenant that I want to mount. So I'm going to search and do a select on the payment terms table. In here, I have a column which does not reside in the application, and this column has data in it. Let's see how this tenant behaves when I will try to mount it as a tenant to my system. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a look at the tenant's name and I'm going to run the mount NAV tenant command. I will mount it to the multi-tenant NAV server. The tenant is on database server localhost, database instance demo, database name campus days company data. I want my tenant to have ID tenant 1. I need to set the flag with override tenant ID in database. And next, here comes the interesting part. I can mount the tenant in certain modes. I have the check only mode, which will ask the server, is it okay to mount this tenant? Will I have some data loss? Disallow changes. This means the tenant does not agree with any with any modifications that the NAV server will imply. A force sync. We will see later what the force sync does. And the sync. This means you NAV server, please sync my content with the database schema that you know about, which comes from the application that is mounted. The default mode is sync. The server is thinking. First, it complains that the tenant cannot be mounted as a tenant because I have open SQL connections to it. So it appears that the database is in use. I will close the SQL and I will launch the command again. Here it is. The database is not in use anymore. So the error that I got is that the field description with ID 5, which I showed earlier, contains some data. So I cannot map the data which is containing is this tenant with an application which has no idea about what field 5 is. So I will have the assumption that the tenant has not been mounted, and I can verify by using getNavTenant. Returns an empty list. Now I want to insist. I want the tenant to be mounted. And for this, I will do a compromise and do a force sync and see what happens. The force sync means delete the data which is not conformant with the application that I know about. Let's run the getNavTenant command again. My campus days company data has been mounted. And if I go to the SQL server and I look into the payment terms table, as you can see here, there is no description column. So we are acknowledging a data loss. Back to my slides. What you have just seen is a database synchronization, a tenant database synchronization, once it is mounted on a NAV server which knows about a certain application. Another opportunity which kind of sets our focus to automate the data upgrade is the multiple suite of PowerShell commandlets which we have implemented into the platform. And with this commandlet, we have possibility to restore NAV databases which are prepared for NAV servers to connect to them. We use new nav database commandlet. We have commandlets around managing the nav server instances. We even import NAV licenses using this commandlet in different places of the database of the system. We can import licenses in the application level as well as in the tenant level. We have some commandlets, as you could see, to manage the multi-tenancy setup. We have commandlets to manage the companies as well. You can easily also automate tasks by running invoke NAV code unit instead of running from CSide and opening RTC. So this is done via PowerShell. And lastly, we have exposed into the command line the possibility to upgrade the NAV database via command line. We have added a new option to the FinSQL command line next to import objects and compile objects. And this took off the dependency of the development environment UI when upgrading the database. Some facts. How do the upgrade scripts look on the DVD? They reside together with the cloud and the multi-tenancy scripts under the Windows PowerShell scripts folder. As you could see in the bottom part, the main scripts are in the root folder, which is upgrade. The main script is example PS1. Example PS1 takes parameters from set partner settings and calls into the building blocks. The building blocks are samples how-to. So first, the automated upgrade will prepare a setup. The setup is pipeline. And the pipeline is prepared into how to prepare NAV upgrade pipeline. Later, the pipeline will serve as a setup, and we can plug in our database that we want to upgrade. And there will be the how-to NAV upgrade database script running. And in the end, we have the option to remove or to keep the pipeline, in which case, if we want to remove it, then we are running a how-to remove NAV upgrade pipeline. The example, the main script, reunites all these functionalities. Next, I was talking about a pipeline that we need to prepare. This pipeline is formed of components. For the preparation of the pipeline, we need to have three application databases. I will explain now how you can obtain these application databases. First, you start from your current version of the database in NAV 2013. Next, you do a technical upgrade on it. You compile all the objects and you import upgrade toolkit step 1. In this step, you will have NAV 2013 R2 database with the database schema of the previous version of the application and also upgrade toolkit step 1 tables. Having this database, you will need only the application part of it, so you run export nav application and you keep app 1. The second database that you need to have is the NAV 2013 R2 database, which is obtained after doing the application merge. What you do with this database, you export an application. This app 3 will contain the new version of your application, will contain the new database schema, which is specific to NAV 2013 R2. And later on, you will import upgrade toolkit step 1 and upgrade toolkit step 2. And in this moment, you will have a NAV 2013 R2 database with 2013 R2 application, so data schema. And also, this application will know about the tables from Upgrade Toolkit Step 1 and Upgrade Toolkit Step 2. How do you run the upgrade script? You prepare a SQL backup file of the database that you want to upgrade. You fill in the parameters in set partner settings. And next, you fire up the script, which we are going to do later. I'm going to describe now the process in which the setup is done. The setup is composed of three components. A component is basically an NAV 2013 R2 server instance, which has an application mounted. The first component will be a NAV server, which has the App 1 mounted. Again, a reminder, App 1 contains NAV 2013 application and Upgrade Toolkit Step 1. The second component is an NAV server 2013 R2 instance, which has mounted application number 2. The App 2 contains the new version of the application and Upgrade Toolkit Step 1 and Step 2 objects. The third component is NAV server instance with App 3 mounted. Again, App 3 contains the new version of the application, and that's it. What will happen when we run the script? We start with a SQL backup, and we deploy the pipeline. We restore the SQL backup to the SQL instance where we want to the upgrade process to happen. We do a technical upgrade of the database that we want to upgrade using FinSQL. After this step, we'll have a technically upgraded database. Later, we remove the application part of it. We are just interested in upgrading the tenant. The tenant contains the data of the database. So what we are going to do first, we are going to mount the customer information as a tenant to the first component of the pipeline. As I explained earlier, on mounting, there will be some synchronization going on. Since the App 1 comes also from a technically upgraded database, there won't be any data loss questions, but there will be some tables created into the tenant. These tables are the Upgrade Toolkit Step 1 specific tables. In this component, we are running Upgrade Toolkit Step 1. This means we are identifying which data is going to be changed, and we are storing it into the buffer tables, which are the table specific to Upgrade Toolkit Step 1. We dismount the tenant from the first component, and we mount it to the second component. Here, there will be some data synchronization in respect to the fact that we are mounting a tenant which has the old version of the application to an NAV server which knows about the new version of the application. What will happen? The obsolete tables from which we removed the data in the previous step will be deleted. There is no problem in that because the obsolete tables are empty. All the content is into the buffer tables. So the operation will not give warnings or errors. We run Upgrade Toolkit Step 2 in this instance. And what happens, we take the table from the buffer tables and we put it into the new tables. These new tables are the new tables specific to NAV 2013 R2 application, and they are created when the tenant is mounted. So to resume, when we mount the tenant to the second NAV instance, then we are deleting the obsolete tables, we are creating the new tables which are specific to the application, and we are also creating the tables which are specific to Upgrade Toolkit Step 2. At this point, we have a tenant with upgraded database, with upgraded data. But we still have some leftovers from the Upgrade Toolkit objects. So we are going to mount this tenant to the third component of the database, which has the purpose to clean up the tenant from the Upgrade Toolkit tables. After this process, we have obtained an upgraded tenant with no upgrade toolkit objects or no obsolete objects. In order to restore the database in traditional NAV database, we are going to merge the upgraded tenant with a clean application. To remind you, the clean application was app3. And in this step, we are ready to mount this database to an NAV server instance. During upgrade toolkit step 2, there is also the possibility to import the rapid start package per company. So we have added this to on the second component when we run upgrade toolkit step 2, and it is in the scripts. We will do a demo now. See what happens. As I was mentioning, the upgrade scripts are on the DVD. I have copied the DVD on my system. What I'm going to do is I'm going to launch PowerShell environment. And I'm going to open the main scripts. The main scripts were example PS1 and set partner settings. Example in PS1 is divided into 3 sections. In the first section, we are importing the parameters which are set into the set partner settings script, and we are loading all the PowerShell modules that are going to be used. Next, we are preparing the pipeline. We pass the pipeline parameters to the how to upgrade NAV database. And in the end, if we have chosen to remove the setup, we are running how to remove NAV upgrade pipeline. Let's see what parameters we need to configure for this script. The parameters reside into the set partner settings, and they are prefixed with the to-do tag. This is a markup that you need to give values to these mandatory parameters. But also, the set partner settings can serve as a template for all your upgrade deployments later on. So it contains a logic in which it allows you to save this file intact and to load your real settings into set partner settings custom file. I have prepared a custom file with relevant settings for my setup. So I have a database section in which I'm passing the SQL server and SQL instance where my database will reside. Then I need to give a name to the database. And since we are going to run the script, I'm going to fill in this parameter. And the name will be upgraded during campus days. Next, what I need to provide is the backup file to the database that I want to upgrade. Here is the license category. I will need the partner license in order to be able to run upgrade toolkit step 1 and step 2 objects. But in the end, I need to take out the partner license from the system and load the customer license. This is the suite of parameters for preparing the pipeline. As you see, I have app1, 2, and app3 prepared. And in the end, I have a set of parameters. This is the location on the system where to drop the logs from the upgrade process, a pass to FinSQL, and I have not given any rapid start package to be imported. So saving this, let's launch the script. But before, we can verify that there is no upgraded database into the system. All clean. And there are no NAV server instances which would if we look into the set partner settings, here it says, if you have a set partner settings custom, then load that one. So that's the great thing of keeping this file as template and also using the documentation for each parameter and loading instead the custom one. The custom one will come in addition with the set parameters. Ready to launch the script? Let's see what happens. It will take some time, so you can sit, relax. Look at the time from time to time. The console is populated with verbose logs. And basically, while the script is running and doing the job for you, remember those 17 manual steps. You can also think of how much it takes to upgrade a database with 3 companies. We have now an upgraded NAV database, and it's just been 3 minutes. We can take a look on the database. It's here. We can use it right away. We have a lazy NAV server instance, which is stopped. I'm using administration console to put in the name of the database to the default server instance. Save configuration. Let's start the server. The server started, and now let's launch the client on the newly upgraded database. Welcome to Kronos International. And I was mentioning that we have 3 databases. It's a nicer view here. So we have the demo company, Kronos International, but also another 2 companies which were added prior to upgrade. There's no problem opening the other companies either. So voila. Back to the slide. Once we had the visual image of the script running, let's go into detail and see what are the actual steps that are executed. So what we do, we handle the license first. We need to put into the system the partner license, but before we need to take a backup of the existing customer license. We might use it later. Next, we have used new NAV database to restore the upgraded, the database to be upgraded to SQL. Next row, we need to clean up the system for any customer license that might come against the upgrade process. So we remove the any license that might be into the database which we have just restored. Then we do a technical upgrade of the database using FinSQL, and we remove the application part of it. In this moment, we only have the tenant database. Next step, we mount this tenant on the first component of the upgrade pipeline. We run upgrade toolkit step one. There is some operations going on, synchronizations, and the obsolete data is and the data is saved from the obsolete tables to the temporary buffers, and then in the end we dismount from the tenant. Next steps, we mount the database to the second component of the pipeline script. We run here upgrade toolkit step two, in which we take the data from the temporary buffers and store it into the new tables specific to the new application, and then we import additional package. And here I mean the rapid start packages. After this operation, the tenant is dismounted from the second component. We mount the tenant to the third component in order to clean up any upgrade toolkit tables that we have. And then we dismount it from the third component. In this step, now we have an upgraded tenant. Having an upgraded tenant, this database can only be used as a tenant, so we are going to do a merge with the application, with App3, and we got a NAV database. And lastly, we are going to import the customer license if we have one. If not, we anyway clean up the system from the partner license. And in the end, it is optional to remove the upgrade pipeline, the setup, or to keep it. Which are the benefits? There are plenty of benefits which save you from the amount of manual steps that you needed to perform before. So the script, it is fully automated. Being fully automated, this reduces the risk of errors that might come. Also, it reduces the downtime. You saw yourself that the script is very, very fast. And also, it is repeatable. This means you can have your fixed pipeline and move multiple customers through the pipeline, or you can use the pipeline as a testing environment. While we are working on the upgrade scripts, we have these benefits in mind, but what really matters for us is the partner feedback. So we had the privilege for some partners to try our upgrade script, and what they said, they were really happy with it. So the partner says, "We love the script. I had to convert two databases, a release one and a demo database, and it went smooth." We really like to have this feedback. We are also eager to get constructive feedback. So I'm looking forward to your feedback. Are there any questions? Yes.
What about on the client level? What about the Windows client and the web client?
They are part of the platform upgrade. So there is no impact of the script to the Windows client. Sorry, the question is what happens with the Windows client and the web client? Would you like to open the web client?
Did you upgrade the Windows client before you did the database upgrade?
No. The Windows client comes with the platform upgrade. So the Windows client doesn't know about the database. The Windows client is installed when I have installed the NAV 2013 R2 build. So as the web client.
So the R2 client can run with the old database, with the old version?
The NAV server can't run with the old database.
But what about the clients, the Windows clients and the web client?
The architecture is, the data is displayed via the server to the clients. So if the server cannot connect to the database, then the RoleTailor client can't display. So the RoleTailor client needs an intermediate. There is the intermediate between the data and the clients is the server. If the server cannot connect to the database, then we can't start RTC, the RoleTailor client, neither the web client. We need a running server with a database which can understand. And we have this while we have upgraded the database. But we don't have the data. We have not migrated the data in this point. And this is the point, the scope of the script. So I did, the script does not, I did not do anything special with the Windows client, neither with the web client. It just came with the installation. And because I had database, with data to show, because it comes from an upgrade, a complete upgrade, then I had no problems opening neither the web client nor the Windows client.
I think I know what the question is here. You need to upgrade the RTC client also on all the computers or your clients. You can do that manually or you can do it with the click once.
Yes, we support side-by-side installation. Another question. Yes, please.
You demonstrate what happened when you remove the field from a table.
Yes. So the question is, what happens if we do modifications in the application, but for pages and for objects different than tables?
If I remove a page from
time, yes.
We remove the synchronization.
No, the synchronization only deals with the database schema, which resides in the tables. So the tables dictate the database schema. All the other objects, pages, reports, are in the application.
So there's a difference if it's a page. Okay, if it's a table, then it will be deleted.
If, correct. So if you have a tenant which has an extra table which the application doesn't know about, yes. But you'll get a warning if that table has data.
That will not work with the override option?
The override, the forcing, it will work. So the first forcing identifies that you have the data in your table. And then if you say yes, if you have this option, the forcing, then it will delete the table. If that table is empty, then you don't need the forcing, you need sync. There was another question a bit in front.
Yes, perhaps a bit of follow-up to the first question. But what are you then doing about pages and reports and filters? What are you doing to synchronize those?
The pages and the reports are part of the application merge, which we started, which we have already in place when we prepared the pipeline, because from the application merge database, we take app 2 and app 3. I can go back to the slide.
But that was a part of the complete upgrade automation.
Yes, but now we are...
Rescripted as well as the other parts.
Let me go to the slide. And it's easier to explain. So, in the new custom version, you have the the new NAV 2013 R2 database with your customized objects in it. This means that you have already done the application merge operations. So this database only has the tables which are important for the 2013 R2 application. And then when we extract the application from here, this application knows the database schema, but also the source code. So the source code will be kept in the application databases.
So what if I start with a 5.0 application,
what to go
all the way to 2013 R2?
The upgrade to 2013 R2 is via 2013. So you need to get your version to 2013. No more questions? All right. Thank you. I'm going to move to the last slide. Here is the evaluation slide. We would like to have your feedback. Feedback about my performance, feedback about the material, and generally, what did you think about the presentation? That was it. Thank you very much. Okay. For those of you who are interested about Rapid Start and how we can plug it in into the script, I apologize, I don't have a Rapid Start package, but I can show you the steps and what you need to plug in and configure. So, as I was mentioning before, all the parameters you are setting are in the set partner settings file. In here, there is this field, this parameter, nav upgrade rapid start package file. In my example, I passed it an empty string. If it's an empty string, then it will be ignored. But if I give here a valid file path, then this will be considered when after we finish running upgrade toolkit step 2. So I'm going to be very technical now and dig into the script and show you where this actually happens. So we have the how to upgrade NAV database sample. And if we open this one, this is nicely divided into sections, the ones that I presented with the steps, what happens every time. So this is the part with the license. Here we are restoring the NAV database. SQL update database. The next section is about running upgrade step 1 and running upgrade step 2. And this is the interesting part. So as you can see, after we run upgrade toolkit step 2, we say run rapid start package. If we are going into this sample, the how to NAV database used the modules which reside into the commandlets folder. So here I need to search for invoke nav rapid start data import. For sure it will be into the, it is not, for sure it will be into the NAV folder. So this is how the rapid start is invoked. The upgrade toolkit operations are done in parallel per companies. That is actually an important detail that missed my presentation. So the benefits of PowerShell, it's a very powerful scripting language, and we have this tag for each in parallel. So loop into the company list and perform this execution for each company. So how the scripting does? It takes all the companies into the system and runs this function for the list of companies. And the upgrade toolkit is run, the rapid start package import is run into this block. We are invoking an AV code unit using PowerShell, and this means run code unit 8620, and this code unit is invoked. the method that is invoked from the code unit is import and apply rapid start package with the provided arguments. And the argument is the rapid start package file. So it's as simple as that. Do we have any questions or any rapid start packages that we can plug it in? It's all about PowerShell, and we benefit in this release from great capabilities inside the platform. We can do everything with commandlets. And this also enabled us to build this script. Any questions? More questions? Would you like to dig into more some other operations? You are also so free to look into the script. We are eager to find out your needs and your pain points, especially with using this script, and also into the upgrade area where we will continue to set focus on. And yeah, this is what we have, and we would like you to use it in NAV 2013 R2. Since there are no questions, thank you for your attention.